The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
One of the greatest things Jesus said before Pilate is found in chapter 18, verse 36. My kingdom is not of this world. Nobody will really understand the kingdom of God if you're not a follower of Christ. It's just beyond you, and it was beyond Pilate. He couldn't get his head around that. It was above his thoughts, his ways. They're far above man's ways. This is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and it's our joy to come to you today with Exploring the Word. We're going through the book of John, chapter 18, and we're looking at the rest of Jesus, and he is before Pilate. And Alex, those people who had arrested him, those Pharisees, they wouldn't even come into the hall where Jesus was. They wanted to not be unclean so they could go take part of the Passover. And is this, let me see, swallowing a camel and straining at a gnat when they were lying, they were cheating, they were going to try to murder? I think this is the height of hypocrisy by them. What about you?
Well, John 18, 33 through 40 really does have an amazing bit of discussion and dialogue and a lot of detail. And folks, turn to John 18 if you can, and we're going to go through this, the interaction between a Roman leader and the Son of God. But you're right. I mean, I'm trying to think of a good analogy. You've heard things like, you know, straightening the deck chairs on the Titanic. That's futility, isn't it? And they wanted, the Jewish leaders, they wanted to get far enough in that they could accomplish what they wanted, the execution of Jesus, but not so far in that it would ritualistically defile them from taking the Passover. Now, that's just like you're pointing out, that's ludicrous because they had guilt. But, you know, Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Gentiles. We're all guilty. All of our sins put Christ on the cross. But let me read. Can I just walk through 33 through 40 a little bit? And then let's unpack this because it really is amazing. Pilate entered the praetorium, this area where legal and governmental decisions were made. Trials were taken place there. Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered. Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it about me? Pilate answered, and Bert, I've always thought verse 35, he was kind of smart, you know, a little bit flippant. Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priest have handed you over to me. What have you done? I think that the sentence begins kind of flippantly, but by the end, there's maybe at least 1% of honest inquiry. Okay, you've been brought here to me. Your nation, the chief priest, handed you over. What have you done?
Yeah.
All right, first of all, who are you? Now, what have you done? Friend, those two questions, the answering them correctly will determine where you spend eternity. Who is he and what did he do? Well, the answer is he is the Son of God. And what did he do? He paid it for all of our sins on the cross. But doesn't in 33 through 35, Bert, doesn't Pilate ask life's two most important questions?
He does. And he has the answer right before him. It is Jesus. And, you know, sometimes things are so plain you don't see it. It's right in front of you. I hate to give illustrations of that, but my glasses, I don't know if you ever done this. I wear glasses, and I've had my glasses on and start looking for them. That's how bad it can be sometimes. But I would say this. If you can answer those correctly, Alex, who is he? He is the very Son of God. He's the Savior. He is Emmanuel. And then what have you done, or what has he done? He died on the cross so that we could be saved. I agree with you. I think Pilate was flippant when he started out, and I think it's going to continue a little bit when he asks, what is truth? I think those two questions he's asking in a flippant way, But I agree with you. It settles down into some real questions. In other words, mm-hmm. what have you done? Is he saying these guys, he didn't have the best relationship with the people that was bringing him to Jesus. They were kind of combative, if you notice that, and history shows that there was combat between them. And so he knew they were crooked. He knew they were, yes, they were religious, but he knew they were conniving and they were selfish. So his questions, what have you done? You know, what have you done to deserve this? You know,
yes.
What have you done? Have you offended them? Because they wouldn't do this unless it was something drastic. And he recognizes, and I hand it back to you, that it was selfish on the part of these Jewish leaders. It was selfish when he says, "What have you done?" He is saying they're selfish. What have you done to, you know, make them angry at you?
Yeah, well, and it's interesting how Jesus, he really changes the discussion a little bit. What have you done? Jesus answered, verse 36, and folks, get ready because you're about to hear some of the most amazing content from the lips of Christ. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world." Pilate said to him, "So are you a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king." And by the way, the wording of this is the most emphatic way in the Greek language to answer something in the affirmative. And Jesus is essentially saying, yes, you got that right. I am a king. Jesus said, "For this cause I was born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness of the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Now, I want to come back to that, but let's go to verse 36. Jesus, most translations will say, "My kingdom is not of this world." Really, the wording really means my kingship. Because, Bert, when we think of a kingdom, we think of land and buildings and people. That's true. But in terms of the kingdom of God, it's all about the king. In other words, when Jesus said literally, "My kingship is not of this world," my domain, my providence, just this praetorium and this little building and this piece of land, the king and his kingdom, the kingship of Jesus is from the ends of the universe to the ends of the universe. In other words, unlimited. Here's Christ, the King of Kings, in front of a localized, really puppet leader. And what a contrast. Providence versus human authority. Yeah. Truth versus error. Light versus darkness. I mean, if ever there were a study of radical contrasts, it's John 18, 33 through 40.
Yeah, and what's going to happen, and I am jumping ahead to chapter 19, because in a way it's connected. When he talks about, "Are you not going to speak?" Jesus doesn't answer him. And he says, "Do you realize in verse 10 of chapter 19, I have power to crucify you, power to release you?" Jesus answered and says, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greatest sin." Now, the reason I tie that in is kingship, Alex. You see what I'm saying? Here in verse 36, "My kingship is not of this world." It's above that. It's beyond you. And then that little power that Pilate had, Jesus said, the little power that you have it isn't much. If it wasn't for me being able to give it to you and have none. You know, that's the kingship we're talking about. We're talking about one more powerful than the largest nation ever, the Roman Empire at that time. Jesus was greater than, and that comes across here in verse 36.
Well, do you remember back in Isaiah 45, you know, it says, "Woe to him who quarrels with his maker. Will the clay say to the potter?" You know, what do you think you're making? You know, does the work that has no hands say to, you know, the one who has all power, "What are you doing?" You know, Bert, I've talked to people who've said, you know, "Well, if I die and if it turns out there's a God, I'm going to say, 'God, you explain to me why this or why that.'" Listen, our life is contingent on God anyway. So the inferior doesn't reply back against the superior.
Amen,
the,
Alex.
The one who's dependent doesn't get up in the face of the one who has all authority. Listen, once you realize there is a God and we're each and every one of us accountable to God, all that we can do is humbly say, God, have mercy on me. Okay, the kingship of Jesus, the kingdom of God. So, are you a king? Jesus says, verse 37, thou sayest, ego eimi, yes, I am. For this I was born, and for this reason I came into the world. Now, I've shared this many times on Exploring the Word, but it continues to just leave me in awe. None of us could say we chose and planned our entry into the world. Our mothers and dads conceived us, and here we are. But Jesus, Bert, how could Christ legitimately say, I chose to come into the world? Because he was prior to this world.
Amen, Alex. And he was
it's
born.
Amazing.
Yeah, he was born king. He wasn't born to become king. He was born king of the Jews. And Alex, that's who he is. And that's for the cause. I chose to come into this world. And notice what it says. I've come into the world that I should bear witness to what? The truth.
The truth.
And yes. Again, in John, but all through the Bible, underline truth every time you come across it, especially in John. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And here is Jesus, bear witness of the truth. In other words, he's bearing witness of himself, his works, in his words that we've talked about, they convey what? Truth.
Truth.
If he said it, it's truth. If he did it, it's truth. And so here it is that I should bear witness to truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Alex, hearing the voice of God, knowing it rings true, doesn't it?
It does. All right, let's flip this over, the converse. Jesus says, in verse 37, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. The flip side, you want to put that 180 degrees the other way, is everyone who won't hear his voice then is not of the truth. Now, what is truth? Some would say truth is that which works, pragmatism. And some would say truth is whatever my opinion is, relativism. But no, truth is really, the Christian worldview is called correspondence. Truth corresponds to reality. In other words, truth is the way things really are. We say, Jesus is the risen Son of God. Yeah, that's true. So that's an accurate statement. And so Jesus says, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. So folks, if you want to be of God, let me say that, if you want to be right with God, you will respond to the voice of Jesus, because the voice of Jesus is the truth. And he said, come, repent, turn to me, believe, follow me, take up your cross. In other words, the Bible summarizes it in John 3 with a phrase, be born again by giving your life to Jesus. That is what really puts you on the road of truth to, step one, establish a personal relationship with Jesus.
Give credit for Pilate for one thing. He did catch the importance of truth. Whether he was being sarcastic or being real, he still understands the importance of truth. I hope you understand that. And Jesus is that truth. We'll be back with more right after this break.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for the peaceful transition of power as Joe Biden is sworn in as President of the United States. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2 reminds us to pray for our leaders. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people and kings and all those in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for peace in our country and guidance for the president. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. Pray with us as we lift up each state's freshman senators and representatives as part of our 2021 Bold Initiative. Learn more at pausetopray.org.
Dr. Tony Evans says we may not be able to do anything about the physical traits we inherit from our parents, but spiritually, God gives us options. He'll explain as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
We all know that the definition of insanity is repeating same old negative patterns and expecting a different result. Regularly in the New Testament, Jesus would ask people, are you willing to be made whole? He would ask them, are you willing? Before he did anything, he wanted to know, do you even want to change? Because if you don't want to change, even God won't help you. Even though you were raised in it, passed down in it, he wants you to know, you don't have to live the rest of your life in it. This all started, this chain of DNA, physical and spiritual, with a guy named Adam. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all have sinned. Verse 15 says, for by the transgression of the one, many died. Do you know the only reason you have to die? The only reason you have to die is because of what Adam did that got transferred to the human race. God says that the consequence of our sin we bear because we make a decision to repeat the practice that may have been transferred to us.
Learn how to break the cycles of sin that keep us in bondage for generations. Check out Tony's CD series, U-Turn, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Word of God speak.
Welcome back. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
I'm finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice, word of God speak.
Many, many years ago, there was a Christian leader named John Chrysostom. They called him Golden Throat because he was such a great orator and he could speak so well. And Chrysostom lived during at least part of the time of the Roman persecution of the church. He said, quote, the only person who is free is the one who lives for Christ. Welcome back to Exploring the Word. On this day, I do hope you're praying for our country and for our new president and praying for the guidance of God and the Holy Spirit to lead our government. And, you know, we're talking about Jesus before Pilate, but Bert, I think about, you know, really 1800, 1900 years ago, Chrysostom would say the only person who is truly free is the one who is living for Christ. Let me just, as we get back to John 18, when Pilate says, what is truth? Let me say, friend, the truth is that God is in control and God loves you and everything is going to be okay. It is ultimately going to be okay. Might hit a few bumps in the road on the journey, but look, we belong to Jesus if you're a Christian. And Bert, I'm praying for our country, but don't you feel just peace in your soul that God knows what's going on and he's with us? And the great thing that we can do every day, regardless of circumstance, we can just enjoy and relish the presence of Jesus Christ in our life every moment of every day. Don't you rejoice in that?
I do. And if you're looking for peace through circumstance, you'll never get them. You'll never get that peace. But your peace is in a person. That person is Jesus Christ. Remember what he said, I have overcome the world. And as bad as this world is, and as bad as this world may get and will get one day, we who are followers of Christ can have peace with God, which brings about the peace of God in our lives, that we are settled. It is settled. And so we're praying for that. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, there's a number you can call, 888-NEED-HIM. 888 Need Him, and they'll talk with you. They're partners. They promote our program. We promote theirs. And also, if you're on the computer, chataboutjesus.com. You can go there and you can talk to them, and they'll help you to come to that realization that Jesus Christ loves you, cares for you, and he can come into your life as you repent, turn away from your sin, and surrender your life to Jesus because of who he is and what he did. We talked about that earlier, didn't we, Alex?
We did.
And what he did. Nobody else could do it, you know? That's only Jesus.
Only Jesus. And, you know, when Pilate, verse 38, Pilate says, what is truth? You know, people have debated, you know, how serious was he about that question, because Pilate is standing there in the presence, just inches away from the one who is truth personified, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth. You want to know what truth is? Find Jesus. Amen. You want to know what life is all about? Have a relationship with Jesus. G.K. Chesterton said Jesus is the exegesis of all things. Now, exegesis, to get the meaning out, to exegete Scripture, ex, the prefix, to bring something out, exit, you know. Well, you want to understand where we came from? The Bible tells us God created us. You want to understand what life is about? The meaning of life is to have a new birth relationship with Jesus. You want to understand what the future holds? Christ is coming back. You want to know how to have comfort and stability and peace at all times amidst the joys or the storms of life? Come to Jesus. Jesus is the answer, and Jesus is the truth. After he said this, Pilate goes back out there and he says, look, I find no fault. Literally, I find no crime in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at Passover. Will you have me release for you Jesus, the King of the Jews? I've got to believe 39 and 40, Pilate didn't anticipate this, Bert. Everybody says, no, let Barabbas go free, a robber, an insurrectionist. I kind of think that Pilate wasn't expecting that.
I agree. Two things let me share with you. I find no fault in him. You know I'm looking for repeated words.
Yes.
He says that in that verse, but look down in chapter 19 in verse 4. I find no fault in him. And then look in verse 6. I find no fault in him. Pilate had examined him again, again, and again, and found him no fault in him. No crime has he committed. The other thing I'd say in what you were talking about, he wasn't expecting that. I'll agree with you, especially when he gave the alternative of Barabbas. But I think the secret is found in chapter 19, verse 6, of why they cried out, crucify Jesus. Notice who it was. When the chief priest and officers saw him, they cried out, crucify him. The ring leaders, now remember, they didn't go into the praetorium. They didn't go into the hall. They would only stay there. So they would be in that group of people that Pilate is talking to and saying, I find no fault with him. I want to release somebody. Don't you think I should release Jesus, King of the Jews? And they cry out, these men are loud. They're boastful. They're proud. The chief priest and officers. You see, they're the ringleaders. I know some of the people were there on Palm Sunday when Jesus came into town, and they were singing Hosanna, you know, David, son of David, son of God. You know, they were there. But these were not there. They were not there. They were there listening to those people, and now they have come up with a plan to instigate the crucifixion of Jesus, Alex. I think that does let you know who is the behind all these words of saying crucify Jesus and release Barabbas.
Yeah, and you know, the temple leaders, people that knew them, rabbis that knew them, and look, the parishioners, probably the eyes of these leaders are scanning the crowd, and the people want to, they don't want to, you know, have a wedge between them and their religious leaders. And it's not like, oh, my goodness, this man of authority who's in my community, he's saying, crucify him. Well, maybe I better do that too. I wonder if this is a horribly tragic example of groupthink or kind of a mob rule. So Pilate says, well, you know, we're going to scourge Jesus. They take him out. You know, it's almost like Pilate tries to humiliate Jesus, maybe as if to placate the people. Behold, I'm bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no crime in him. Here's the man, and maybe there's a little bit of mocking of the Jewish people themselves. You know, here's your king. Okay, we Romans, we're over you all. Here's the best king you got. He's got a crown of thorns and a fake robe. You know, you take him and crucify him yourself. I find no fault in him. The Jews said, we have a law that he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. In other words, he claimed to be God. By the way, folks, if your college professor says Jesus didn't claim to be God, yes, John 19:7. I mean, here's part of the reason they're trying to get him executed, because he did claim to be God incarnate. Verse 8 is interesting, Bert. When Pilate heard these words, he was more afraid. He entered the praetorium again and said to Jesus, where are you from? Jesus gave no answer. Okay, verse 8, Pilate was afraid. It is never good when leaders are leading out of fear and paranoia, is it?
Great point. Fear will paralyze you. It will cause you to look at things in a crooked way, and exactly what Pilate did. Now, I want to notice, people, everybody noticed, I'm sure they have, but I need to contrast this. Verse 2 says, the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put the purple robe on him. Now, you've already talked about that, but notice who's doing this. This is the soldiers. Now, the people who arrested him were the temple guards. The transaction has been made. In other words, the religious leaders, they did what they could. And you remember, one of those temple guards slapped Jesus. And here now, one of the soldiers strikes him, Alex. So we get this on both sides, religious and government. They're coming against Christ. And what did Jesus say? My kingdom is not of this world. It's not a, quote, religious kingdom. It is a truth kingdom. It is a kingdom that is made up of a relationship with God. It's not a governmental kingdom. That's why we live in a fallen world. And yes, fallen leaders rule. They do. But yet we have our place. We have a higher calling than what religious leaders would say, these high priests and these Pharisees. We have a higher calling than what Pilate or Caesar or, you know, anybody would say. But mm-hmm. Alex, you're right. One thing I'd say, and it says this in the New King James, Jesus answered them, or the Jews answered Pilate. It's about Jesus and him being crucified. Notice these words. We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die. That's what they had done with the law. They had made it what they wanted it to say and not what it really said and what was laid out. Don't be guilty of that. Don't try to make God in your image, that God would do this. He'd think like us. No, his ways and his thoughts, Alex, they're higher than ours.
There are. You know what? Different subject for a different day, but we often talk about the need to make sure that we have a distinction between convictions versus preferences. Because honestly, I will say this, and look, I believe in standards, and I respect tradition, but one of the things that has kept a lot of people out of church, especially younger people, is convictions never change. Christ is the Son of God. The Bible is the inerrant Word of God. Those things never change. But styles of music, style of dress, you know, mode of worship, even, you know, just how we run the schedule, don't let your preferences become doctrines. And they said, we have a law. We've made a law. No, let's make sure it's not our preferences, but it's God's revealed truth. Okay. Pilate says, will you not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the power to release you, the power to crucify you? Now, remember, he had asked Jesus, you know, where are you from? Jesus talks about direction here, verse 11. You would have no power over me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin. So Jesus tries to help them understand, even what's going down right here, God's permitting it. Now, God didn't make them do it, and they certainly don't have autonomy on their own, but God is allowing this temporarily to take place.
And Alex, don't you think it also shows accountability?
Yes.
I mean, here we are as a leader especially. It's not a double standard, but it is a higher standing. To whom much is given, much is required. And so when you are a leader, whether it be in your family, whether it be in your church, your community, your country, there is a high standard for that. And here he says you could have no power at all unless you had been given it from above. There's going to be a day of accountability. And this is why, and I'm getting on my soapbox, that's why Darwinian evolution has been accepted so well. Has nothing to do with most of the scientific evidence. It has mostly to do with a philosophy that they don't want accountability. If God is the creator, if God is the designer, there's going to be accountability to that person one day. And if they can ignore it and we can teach it, no accountability. But here accountability is stated loudly for those of us, like you and me. We've been given this great privilege of being on the radio, of sharing the Word of God.
Mm.
And we take it serious. Alex and I take this serious, that we're going to do our best. What does the Bible say? Not what I want it to say. There's a few places in the Bible, if I could have said, well, I wished I could have done it a different way. But no, God does it His way. And His way is truth. His way is right. So,
amen.
And
you know what? Even as the people are saying, crucify him, and, you know, Pilate's afraid. I've got to believe Pilate is monitoring the crowd. And then, boy, they play a trump card. Verse 12, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, if you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Okay, boy, here's the thing. When you're tempted to sin, I think the Holy Spirit is calling out, don't do it. Listen, if you're afraid to do right, or if you're bound to do wrong, God will let you do that. God will offer the right way. The Holy Spirit of God will call out. I think when Peter was denying Christ, the Holy Spirit was calling out, don't do this. So let me put it down into practical terms, Bert. If you're a student at college and somebody says, are you one of those Bible believers? Do you believe homosexuality is a sin? What about creation? You do believe in evolution, natural selection. You don't believe that Genesis stuff, do you? You really believe Noah got all those animals on the ark? Do you really believe Jesus is the one and only way? Maybe you're on a business trip and you're away from home and you think, you know what? I can do things here on the road I can't do back at home. Listen, God will offer you the right way. God will give you the strength to stand up and
Amen.
Speak truth. But God's not going to make you do right. He's not going to twist your arm. And so I just want to challenge you to be bold. Remember, Christ gave his life for your salvation. And Bert, I don't want to get us off track, but I've been laughed at, cursed at, and had ugly gestures thrown at me when I've stood at universities. And I've said, I do believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe in Noah and the Ark, and Moses parted the Red Sea, and Christ is coming in that eastern sky one day. And you know what? I've had people come up to me in the lobby privately, and they'd say, awesome, I believe it too, but I'm just, man, if I spoke out for my faith, it would be trouble. Well, you know what? We're going to have to stand strong and stand bold, aren't we, Bert?
And I think the day has come where we're going to have a double portion. Elisha said, I need a double portion of Elijah's spirit. We need that today. Hey, we're going to take phone calls. 888-589-8840. Give us a call. We want to hear from you today.
Happy New Year. With a pandemic, a contentious election, and everything in between, 2020 has been one for the record books. As we enter 2021, we know not what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. And none of this has surprised him. No matter what the new year brings, let's press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. A New Year's reminder from American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney, host of Secure Freedom Radio. It's your personal daily intelligence briefing about the challenges we face, how they're likely to affect you, and what we can do about them. You can find Secure Freedom Radio here every weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Tune in to learn from our extraordinary experts what you need to know and will want to share. Join us for Secure Freedom Radio tonight at 11 Eastern, right here on AFR.
He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. The American Enterprise Institute conducted an empirical study to understand the decline of religious faith in America. They concluded the data seemed to show the main driver of secularization in the United States is government spending on education and control over the curricular content taught in schools. Why? Because children learn more at school than reading, writing, and arithmetic. They imbibe a whole set of implied assumptions about what's important in life. Faith in God becomes a sort of optional, weekend hobby akin to playing tennis or video games. And our tax dollars pay for it.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
This is Dr. Stephen Rummage with today's Moving Forward Minute. God says in Isaiah 55, verse 11, "My word shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Boys around the country used to covet the job of paperboy. They'd deliver the morning paper, rolled up and banded nice and tight. A good paperboy could land your paper squarely on the porch right by your door. But not even a champion paperboy could make you read the paper. His job was only to deliver it. Well, the same is true in your life. Don't measure your success in sharing the gospel or teaching a Sunday school class or exhorting a person in sin by the response of each person. If you faithfully deliver God's word, you've succeeded. Be ready to share God's word with everyone as you have the opportunity. The results are up to God. His word is always successful. For more resources, visit movingforwardradio.org. Join me every Sunday morning at 8:30 Central for Moving Forward right here on AFR.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back. He's coming.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Welcome back to Exploring the Word. You know, it's very sad. In chapter 19, 15 and following, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Think about that. We've got to acknowledge the kingship of Jesus. And in fact, Bert, you know, everybody ultimately will. Ultimately, every knee will bow. And we pray that you will let Jesus come into your life and be your Savior in this life, while you have opportunity. Hey, the number, we're going to open up the phone lines and we're going to take calls. We would love to hear from you with your Bible questions. Call us. It's 888-589-8840. Part of our joy is to take your calls and questions here on Exploring the Word.
We sure do, and we're going to go to Arkansas first and talk to Francis. Francis, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you. I was listening to Adrian Rogers Monday, and he was doing some of the verses in John, and in John 17:23, where it refers to being perfect, he said, or I understood him to say, that the only thing that we are all perfect about is being able to sin. And I know that we've, and he said, and we all do it.
Yeah. You know, Augustine, the great leader Augustine, 1,600 years ago, he said, even our good works are merely splendid sins.
Yep.
What do you think, Bert?
It is. And the only way we do that is when God sees us, He sees us through Christ, in Christ. And Christ is perfect in every way. Really, verse 23 is making a glorious comment concerning Jesus Christ and who He is and His power, Alex, to come into mm-hmm. our lives and be a part of our. He came into this world that we live in, and he lived among us, and we beheld his glory. Alex, that's what the apostle said. And here Jesus said, I'm going to let you into my world. And God sees us as he sees Christ. That really, verse 23, it's not bragging on us. It is praising the Lord for what Christ has done in us and bringing us to the Father, Alex.
Well, when you and I were in the book of Matthew a few months ago, Matthew 5:48, Jesus said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And here in John 17:23, it's talking about unity within the body of Christ, which is perfect, perfectly one. And we had callers who said, well, I feel bad because God says be perfect, and I can't really be perfect. Do you know what it's meaning? The word is a form of teleos, which means design. Matthew 5:48, to be saved and to become more and more Christ-like. That's what God made you to do. That's your appropriate design, to be a part of the body of Christ and to be in unity. And we serve and live and walk and proclaim with one voice. So in other words, to be the design God intended is to be a fruit-bearing, Christ-like, growing, productive Christian, to be in the design. Thing is, Bert, and you tell me if I'm right here, a lot of the body of Christ, I'm not saying they're not saved, but in terms of Christ-like and productive, we're not in the design right now, are we?
No, we're not. And listen, we want you there. That's the reason we do Exploring the Word, to bring people in, and then those that are in, to show forth Christ. It's called discipleship, becoming more and more like him. Francis, thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. And listening to Dr. Adrian Rogers, don't go wrong. Amen.
We're big thumbs up there.
We are. Okay, let's stay in Arkansas and talk to Lynn. Lynn, welcome.
Hi. My question is, and this happened to me this morning. I was walking my dog and I encountered this man who I'd met once before. And he was quite a talker. And I was in a hurry. But anyway, and I told him that, in the beginning. And then he said, I don't think he heard me. And then he said, my son just died 2 days ago, and I can hardly keep back the tears. So at that point, I thought, okay, what I was going to do, I can be late. And I was going to talk to him, and I was going to witness to him. But I don't know what to say when you don't think someone is a believer. Because, like I said, I talked to him once time prior, and it didn't sound like it. And then he started telling me how his son was an alcoholic and all this other stuff. And I really didn't know what to say. Because if you say, anyway, I didn't know what to say because I didn't think either one of them were believers.
Yeah. Lynn?
And everybody said, oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're doing great. Thank you for taking time to talk with him, showing him. At this point in time, I think the first thing you do is show him that you do care and set this up, hopefully. I'm not saying you don't witness to him. I'm not saying that. But hopefully set this thing up to ongoing. He's hurting right now. And, Alex, I don't know if you've heard this or not. I have. When a loved one has died without Christ, and then you try to witness to that one to come to Christ, they'll say, I don't want to do that. I want to be with my loved one. They don't know what they're saying when they say that. But, that is a difficult time for someone. And if you just have a one shot, you try to show them Christ. But hopefully he may come back to you, Lynn. Alex, go ahead.
Well, yeah, God bless you, ma'am, for being a witness. And it's never easy. And, Bert, I want to preface what I'm about to say by saying this. Look, I'm all for, laying the cards on the table, explaining the gospel. However, sometimes when people are hurting and they're bereaved, the most powerful thing you can do is show empathy and just to even be there. And very often, just a compassionate smile or a hand on the shoulder can let people know. I'll tell you, when I got out of seminary, I felt very inadequate. And there were times that I felt like I totally bombed, and I was just there and really didn't have anything profound to say. And later people would say, oh, that meant so much. And I think, really? I don't feel like I did anything. I just came over. And sometimes just your very presence and the Holy Spirit that you carry about you, God can do more with us than we thought was accomplished. Do you find that
true? I agree with you fully, especially if you know they're in your neighborhood. Lynn, I would say one thing purposefully, and you may want to get your husband or a male figure with you that knows the Lord, and try to minister to him. If he's let you know his child has died, that means, you know, possibility meal would speak loudly, taking him something like that would speak loudly. And
they'll know you care.
And let him know you care. And it opens the door great, more than, I honestly think what Alex said is more important than saying the exact right word. But Lynn, thank you for calling, and thank you for your ministry. Keep it up.
Bless you.
Yeah, let's go to Ohio and talk to Nick. Nick, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you for your ministry. Keep it up.
Thank you. Thank you, Nick. Thank you. You got anything else, brother?
Thank you.
Turn off radio zone. Okay, let's go to Texas and talk to Courtney. We'll try to come back to Nick in a moment. We're having some connections there. Courtney, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello, Brother Bert and Alex. I've been to Bert and Jen's seminars for pastors and pastors' wives 2 years, and it's been one of the greatest blessings that we've had in our ministry to be with mentors like them. And I met J.J. Jasper and some of the other guys from AFR, and they're all you all are just wonderful people and doing God's work. And
okay, you know, amen. Thank you,
Courtney. Y'all been talking about today, though, I have a question that I want you to expound on. Y'all answer so many hard things for people, and that's important what you're doing. But when y'all were talking about how that once the Pharisees went to screaming and hollering and causing such a riot that the people that knew what was right just were afraid to say or do anything. And that's the way Christians are today. I had a man come and ask me, did I think it was the right thing for him to run for city council? And I said, brother, if the Lord's calling you to do that, don't hesitate. Because what would have happened, just like in some of the verses following what y'all read today, when Joseph of Arimathea had the authority to come before Pilate as being on the Sanhedrin court and a Pharisee, what would have happened to Jesus' body? God put him in a place where he could be used.
Amen. Preach it, brother. Courtney, you're exactly right. And Alex, you and I both, we're encouraging people from the school board to a councilman or alderman, however yours, to a state representative. If God lays it on your heart, don't be afraid to get into that arena as a believer. Now, let me give one thing, and then Alex, you comment quick, and we'll go to the next call. But make sure you're ready, and make sure you have your prayer, prayer warriors praying for you as you enter into it, you know?
Go ahead. And you know what? I've had a lot of Christian friends that have run for local, regional, statewide, and national offices, and God has used them. And it is a long-term vision. I mean, you might have to allocate years of getting ready, learning, preparing, practicing, speaking, getting a prayer team. But you know, Matthew 5:13-16, we are to be salt and light. And Bert, you know the very famous quote by Edmund Burke of colonial America, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. So men and women of God, get out there and let's occupy places of leadership.
Amen. Courtney, thank you. It's good to hear from you, brother. By the way, Fishbowl, we're hoping everything will clear up and we can do one in October of this year up in Tennessee. We're looking forward to it, hoping to make those plans, and we'll finalize them and make sure. But anyway, brother, thank you. Let's go to Ohio and talk to Nick. Nick, are you on this time, brother?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, man. We're sorry we couldn't make connections a moment ago, but go ahead. You're on now.
That's okay. All right. Well, my mother, she passed a couple months ago, and she's always a big believer. I've been to church, and I fell back into some bad ways, and I've been listening to you guys for two or three days, and I've been thinking about, you know, getting back in church stuff. But her question was, she asked the lady if she believed that there was purgatory, and if there's a purgatory, if that was a place maybe you was sent to right all your wrongs.
Okay, Nick, thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. And thank you for getting through and being perseverance. Nick, you're on Get Back with God. You're listening to us. We invite you to keep listening, not because Alex and I are the best in the world, but I want to tell you, we do care. And we care about where you are, where you've been. And getting back right with God, I want to tell you, I'll bless your life. But answer his question concerning purgatory, Alex.
Well, our condolences on the homegoing of your mother. And again, find your comfort and grieve through and find hope in Jesus and no other place. Purgatory, the word purge, purgation, to purge sin away. Let me say this. I know there are people that believe in purgatory. I don't. For one thing, I think that Jesus' death on the cross when he, you know, it is finished, paid in full, and the fact that it's not in Scripture. Now, there people say, well, wait just a minute. You know, there's carnality and sin, and you think we're going to walk right up into heaven with dirty feet? You know, even you got to clean the mud off your shoes before you go in the house, right? Listen, in Christ, we are positionally righteous, saved. And so I believe Jesus' full atonement on the cross, besides the fact that you will not find purgatory in Scripture, I don't think there's need for it. The Bible says we are in Christ clean every whit, a new creation. We are saved. And Bert, I think the fact that we, born again, converted in Jesus, we are made right in the eyes of the Father, that's all the more incentive in gratitude to serve Jesus, isn't it?
It is. And Nick, we're praying for you. Matter of fact, we don't really have a lot of time to take another call and do it justice. Ours is not a comment program. It's a question and answer program. So, Alex, we've got a minute or two left. Let's pray. We had folks that's lost loved ones. Pray for them, and especially for Nick. Would you do that?
Let's do that. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you are the God of all comfort. Lord, we can turn to you, and just at the name of Jesus, our soul is comforted. I do pray for Nick. Lord, bless him, the homegoing of his mother. And here in the last, you know, 10, 11, 12 months, I mean, there have been so many passings through COVID, through a myriad of things. And again, we do pray for our nation as a chapter has closed, a new chapter begins. And Lord, people are wondering, you know, what does tomorrow hold? We know that you hold now and tomorrow and forever. So Lord Jesus, be very real in every single life. Thank you that you wash our sins away. We are clean every whit if we're in you. And Lord, we have your name to call on. Lord Jesus, be with us. We love you. And amen. And Bert, isn't it a blessing that we have Christ and he will never leave us or forsake us?
What a promise. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I am with you always. And I'm going to add something through thick or thin. And that's who God is. If you don't know him, ask him to come into your life today. If you need more help, that number's 888-NEED-HIM. Alex, let's do this tomorrow. How about it?
Folks, be with us. You plan to be back tomorrow for another edition of Exploring the Word. And stay tuned to the American Family Radio Network.